This is Ottawa at Work with Leslie Roberts on News Talk 580 CFRA. Be a part of the conversation. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from.
You know, with 4 days left until we go to the polls to vote on our next government, you know people want to reach out and text us. Go for it. What are your thoughts? Text us to 580-580. We will check in with your thoughts on the final stretch of the Olympics. The election. The sport is different, but you get my point here. The election, which is coming up. We got lots going on today before noon. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go out west to Alberta where it's, well, let's just say they're throwing their hands up in the air in the medical profession. They can't believe what's happening. And finally, Jason Kenney's taking, well, if he can take responsibility at this point. Here locally, we're going to talk with the Board of Trade about rapid tests. They've got a new program on top of the vaccination passport where you need to know. And also, the big question for a lot of folks, when can we get back on a plane and travel internationally and feel safe? We'll try and answer that as well before noon. But first,
Ottawa at Work, Big Five Stories.
Yeah, this is where we count them down, things you need to know. Joining me from the newsroom, as always, Mr. Chris Holsky. Good morning.
You know, the way that the election appears to be heading right now, the Olympic metaphor is not that bad, honestly. Take a look at the medal situation, right? Uh-huh. They say how you win gold. You win bronze, but you lose silver?
Yes.
Possibly exactly the same thing with a minority parliament.
But for the voters in Canada, we're going to get a bronze. That's the problem, right? It's the Canadian gold. Speaking of gold, in our building, Mr. John Krupe is the gold medal winner. Good morning.
Leslie, I thought you would have played Nicki Minaj as the intro song today to celebrate her invitation to the White House.
What?
Not really. No.
I know.
So, just for the background, so she texted out something about a friend of a friend and second cousin.
In Trinidad.
Yes. Who said that if you take a vaccine, basically you won't be able to reproduce if you're a man.
Yeah, you have swollen, you know what. And of course, she's now tweeting that she was invited to the White House. And of course, as Chris mentioned, that's not really the story.
Yeah. No. Does she know that Trump's no longer president?
She has 25 million followers.
I know. Yes. I know. Stay in your lane.
Almost all of Canada.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's bring it back at home. And from Nicki Minaj, we go to Jason Kenney. Things in situation in Alberta continues to deteriorate. And the premier there says, I'm sorry.
I know that we had all hoped this summer that we could put COVID behind us once and for all. That was certainly my hope. And I said so very clearly. Based on our analysis of other jurisdictions around the world with similar rates of vaccination, we believed that we could prudently move away from addressing COVID as a pandemic and towards an endemic. It is now clear that we were wrong, and for that, I apologize.
We will just give you a few more statistics. Everyone in ICU in Alberta, and in fact most of the country, unvaccinated. We know there's more pushback there than anywhere else to vaccine rollout. But here's a number that jumped out at me. In the last 24 hours, there have been 24 deaths as a result of COVID in Alberta. That's one an hour in the province of Alberta. Is Jason Kenney toast, Chris?
I think he's done. Honestly, what are you going to do at this stage? I mean, you've lost the left entirely already because of hesitancy to try to enact a vaccine passport or in terms of the decisions that you made over the course of the summer. And now if you're on the right in that province, you're upset that a vaccine passport system is coming in. You have his own members of cabinet apparently, reportedly, threatening to leave. Mm. And if they do, it's no more United Conservatives, one would say, in Alberta. You're in a situation right now where, okay, they have 63 seats. The NDP have 24, something along those lines. If 20 members of the United Conservatives say, you know what, we're done, and we're out of here, then it's election time. It's election time suddenly in Alberta. Kenny can try to do what he can to try to hang on, perhaps, maybe call the bluff of some of the ministers if they do try to splinter and form their own parties to at least maintain your own policies over the next little while to see if they work. But other than that, man, if they don't leave, then maybe you just resign to get rid of the stress because they will not. It's underneath Jason Kenney. They will not be reelected in Alberta. Not a chance.
Those who are threatening to quit because they say the measures, they don't want any measures. They want to continue, right? They think that these measures go too far. Talking vaccine passport, masking, and so on. Could they not form their own party?
They could.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then just, kind of go forward from there. Krupe, your thoughts?
Well, it's Texas, right? It's the Texas attitude, and it's the Wild Wild West. And I, quite frankly, did not find his apology sincere at all. And as far, and I said it before, and I'll say it again, Dr. Hinshaw, the medical officer of health for the province, and Jason Kenney are dumb and dumber. Yeah, the whole world was told them they were going on the wrong path in July. All they had to do was hold course. Instead, they had some slogan about celebrate summer, and all they had to do was hold course, and no, they didn't listen to any of the experts at all, and look what they're in a month and a half later. And, you know, he apologized, but then he didn't apologize for some of the restrictions that he lifted. So, you know what? He's toast. He should resign. But he's, of course, and so should Dr. Hinshaw, who's been a disaster since day one, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, if nothing else, they're making the rest of the country's premiers looking pretty good today.
Yeah, Doug Ford. It's like there's a winner in this situation right now, and it's Ontario Premier Doug Ford. We were standing here in the month of June. I was standing here saying, well, one province is going to be right, one province is going to be wrong, and we will find out over the course of the next few months who made the correct decision. And the answer has been Ontario.
I have a question about the federal transfers for the pandemic. I think it's $2.7 billion that was transferred to the Ford government, and they have not rolled it out. It's sitting in a bank account somewhere. Does anyone else find that odd and not right?
I find all those stories quite odd about money not spent and billions of dollars, and it's coming from the parliamentary oversight officers. I wish we'd get to the bottom of it, because what are they holding it for? The election next
year? Yeah, I think I looked at it, and that's my first thought is, hey, they're going to roll it out in terms of new spending.
Yeah.
And they're going to take credit for it.
Are they balancing?
So they can announce a water park in Brampton or something.
are they trying to balance it out with general revenue? And we'll see what there hasn't really been the chance to ask these questions to the Ontario government yet.
Yeah. And
I really want to hear what they have to say.
And that's fiscally responsible if they can use it to pay down.
Well, and honestly, where is the government already on this? Like, really, where's the presser at this stage?
Yeah.
And again, it's the continuing disappearing act by the Ontario government.
It'll
right
come
now.
The day after Election Day.
You wonder if it's going to come back to bite them if these school cases keep rising, because, as you note, every day we're getting more and more classrooms being shut down. You know, I think there's one school in New Orleans that's grade 4 to 6 canceled. Six classes were canceled because of COVID. You know, it's. We're going to hear about them every day, and maybe we're going to get fatigue about the school and COVID. And yes, I heard another school, but they're rising.
But they're coming from the community, right? So it could be argued by those who are overseeing the schools that the system, the alert system, is working. The minute COVID comes into the schools, those classes go into isolation, and it's not spreading within the schools. Although they had one outbreak, right?
Yeah,
yesterday.
It's like a second one in Ottawa so far after a couple of weeks, and it is an inconvenience, obviously, when a class is sent home for a parent, for a student as well. But really, that's not as bad as shutting down the entire school system right now. If we can manage this, if we can keep it going, even these stories about outbreaks coming up at schools or in classes or being sent home, it is still better than saying, okay, everybody home indefinitely.
Oh, they can't afford to close the schools. They can't afford a lockdown because they'll get pushback. And
we're only a week and a half in, eh? So
yeah, no, you're right. You're right. We'll be watching. Let's talk about the English debate. How many days ago was that now? This is all because Justin Trudeau, Erin O'Toole, and Jagmeet Singh have all said, you need to apologize, moderator of the debate, over your question over Bill 21 that was posed, of course, to the Bloc Québécois leader. Now, Satya Curl, who was the moderator, Angus Reid, of course, she basically said Bill 21 and the racist policies. Now, if you don't know Bill 21, it's basically the provincial law in Quebec that says you cannot wear a religious symbol if you want to work in a public service job. So that's no kippahs, no hijabs, no turbans. Hey, if you want to wear a cross, you got to hide it. I mean, it's like it's across the board. And a lot of people are saying it's discriminatory because of religious freedoms as guaranteed in our charter. That being said, nowhere else in Canada but Quebec is this an issue. So here's the question. Is this really about demanding an apology, or is this trying to save their Quebec votes?
It's the latter. If they had really been so offended that they demanded an apology, or that they wanted to demand an apology, then it would have come immediately, not a week after. Granted, the question, in my opinion, should not have been asked that way. That's not a very intelligent way for a moderator to ask that question with really It was a loaded question.
It was.
However, if there was this, it's like this request for an apology is coming because the leaders are looking at the polls in Quebec. It's reactionary to the polls themselves and not the question itself.
Krupe.
Two things. One is even Walter Cronkite couldn't have done a great job on that debate. Having five people on there was just ridiculous. So I'm not going to dump all over the moderator, but it was a loaded question. And Leslie, as you just pointed out in describing this, you said a lot of people say it's discriminatory, and that's the way she should have phrased that question.
Yeah, it was as simple as adding those words.
And having said all that, it was a gift to the, Bloc Québécois.
Yeah.
And I can't, all these separatist parties, to the Bloc Québécois, because they had a huge boost in the polls in Quebec. And the last one I saw from Nanos, not too far apart from the Liberals.
Yeah, Nick.
So it was a gift in the end.
It was. Nanos, by the way, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll dig a little deeper into the latest numbers. All right, coming up, people who are in isolation because of COVID-19, and there are a lot of them, 50 per day yesterday, and on all of their contact tracing, they're not going to be able to vote on Election Day. We'll tell you why and if that's fair. On the other side, News Talk 580 CFRA.
Ottawa at Work. Big five stories.
We continue to count them down. Mr. Chris Holsky and Mr. John Krupe joining me this morning. All right, let's talk, if we can, about Aaron O'Toole. It was really interesting yesterday because he was talking about the fact that it's not your dad's Conservative Party. And if you look at recent history, he brought the party to the center, and it's definitely not your dad's Conservative Party. And then he rolled out Brian Mulroney. Isn't he the dad of the Conservative Party? Listen to this.
From the first day of my leadership, my priority has been to build a conservative movement where every Canadian can feel at home. Inclusive, diverse, forward-looking, progressive, worker-friendly. We're not your dad's Conservative Party anymore.
And then he said, Mr. Mulroney, please endorse me, which Brian Mulroney did. Now, it's important to note, of course, we're talking Brian Mulroney. He was the leader of the Progressive Conservative Party. Therefore, I think maybe we give Mr. O'Toole a pass. He didn't bring out Harper.
No, I'm trying to figure out how this works. Look, for one thing, it's been 30 years roughly since Brian Mulroney was the prime minister for the Progressive Conservatives. And so maybe 30 years as opposed to 20 years, maybe that makes him your grandfather's
conservative party.
Perhaps. Also, maybe generationally, you think, okay, so the Conservative Party right now, before that it was the Alliance Party, before that it was the Reform Party, and then before that the Reform Party members were part of the Progressive Conservatives. So Brian Mulroney is actually the great-grandfather's conservative, if you start going back that far. To be perfectly frank, I don't understand why people want to campaign next to Brian Mulroney, the guy who was primarily responsible for the biggest PC collapse in the history of the federal government in any election,
yeah,
all the way down to two seats. That was not because of Kim Campbell. That was because of him.
But he does still, his name carries a lot of weight in the world and carries a lot of weight, I think, with progressive conservatives.
A lot of weight in Quebec.
Yes. On top of it, he is a son of Quebec, Baie-Comeau.
Yeah. And, of course, he'll tell you all about growing up in the Iron Ore Company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did carry two majorities, and Quebec, that marriage with the separatists in Quebec carried to two majorities. So
yep.
O'Toole needs some seats in Quebec, right? He's lagging way behind.
How do you honestly, though, point at the Canada's national debt right now while standing next to Brian Mulroney? Really?
Well, the GST is temporary. Remember.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah. Hey, folks, the night before, Mr. Trudeau tried to do the same thing, brought out Jean Chrétien, and he brought out Hazel McCallion. Would that make her the great-great-grandmother of the Liberal Party? Because she's 100, I say 70. American 70.
You almost said 700.
Yeah. I've had a lot of good times with Hazel. I have a lot of respect for her. I used to host her Canada Day at Mississauga, and you do it her way or no way.
How old is she now?
She's 100.
No, she's not.
Yeah, and she's still driving, between you and me.
Honest.
The Mississauga police, appeal police, they look the other way when she comes.
Probably contemplating a comeback, to be honest.
Well, right? And she would be voted right back in there. All respect to Bonnie Crombie in Mississauga, but she is still popular to this day. She's the longest serving mayor, I believe, in Canadian history.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of respect for her when she was the mayor.
Well, and she also is known for outspoken moments. So here she is. She's, I'm going to vote for Justin Trudeau, and then turns around and tells the reporters, why did he call an election during a pandemic?
Did Chrétien stick around and answer any questions during the course of that, or was he like, in the door, here's your opinions, and here's your appearance, and then gone.
And if you get in his way, he got
actually, oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, yeah. it would have been nice to see him stand in front of some microphones so that somebody could get the opportunity to finally ask him about the Indian Act.
Oh, you know, it was interesting because he did say something. You know, if you lose, he said, pardon me, I won't do a French accent. It's just, I love the guy because he's such a big personality in the big picture. Mm-hmm. Whether you love his politics or not, he still made some incredible. He achieved some goals that people didn't think he was going to be able to achieve.
You got the deficit under control. That's the big thing.
How would you like if one of those PPC guys try to handle him, eh?
Oh.
Giving them the Shawinigan handshake.
But you know what he said? He said if Trudeau were to lose, he would just go home to his wife where his wife would be happy to have him. And that's based, I think, probably on back on the day when he walked away from politics and had the love of his life, Aline, may she rest in peace.
Yeah.
One of the great love stories in politics. All right, finally. Let's talk about those who were diagnosed with COVID-19. Of course, there is the whole isolation aspect to the point where if you have to stay in isolation until after the election, you can't vote. Is that fair, Chris?
I think there's a bit of a failure on Elections Canada's side on this one here because that really should have been stated a lot more than it was over the course of this about the mail-in ballot, about saying that, hey, you know what, if you're caught in an isolation sting, then there's a chance that you may not be able to actually go to a poll. Now, I considered that personally. I have taken that risk right now. And however, who knows what could happen over the course of the next few days. I knew that it was a risk going in. I don't think enough people truly understand that. And that contributed to the lower mail-in ballot rates there. That deadline, unfortunately, is gone. I look at this as a cautionary tale, but it's one that comes far too late. Really. You can't make that choice now. You're either heading to the polls or you're not. There's no other option.
Croupy?
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a vote during the pandemic. And unfortunately, the mail-in ballot deadline was yesterday, Chris?
Yeah, 6 p.m.
Tuesday.
6 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday
Tuesday,
was Tuesday.
The 14th.
Wednesday.
And maybe that should have been a little later in the process, but who knows. And now they're saying even with not the millions projected to have mail-in ballots, they're still saying it could be, a day or two? You had that interview. You had a day or two after, right?
Well, they're saying because there aren't as many as possible, there'd be few changes, a couple of maybe ridings where it's too close to call anyway, and that they could have a change. But I think we'll still be able to call it on Monday night.
Well, think of this, right? You're going to have, in Ontario alone, based on estimates of the number of cases that we've been seeing reported each day, maybe a few thousand people, maybe 2,000, 3,000, now and Monday are going to be said, you have COVID-19, you can't go to a polling station, right? And I'm curious to see how this could impact voting demographics when it comes to Monday, because a lot of people would say, oh, this is primarily out of COVID-19 deniers or the vaccine resistant. I don't think that's necessarily true, especially when you take a look at most new infections are going to be happening in urban areas. And where do most urban votes traditionally lean, right? They tend to lean more towards the left and not necessarily into the arms of the Conservative Party or the PPC. So who knows, taking these votes out of the ballot box, how that could impact things this Monday.
Hey, before I let you go, the Liberal gathering two nights ago, 400 plus people in the room, they followed COVID. Was that a dumb choice?
It's like they claim they followed it. I didn't see people properly physically distancing within the rules there. In my opinion, they did violate the rules.
And did you see O'Toole Mulroney's crowd? Same thing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Again, but it comes down to numbers, right? It was a question of did they follow the rules once they were inside.
Hey, the Sens are going to have a 19,000 or 18,000 home opener. They hope so.
Yeah,
and everybody's being optimistic and taking it to the limit, as the Eagles would say.
And Brady may sign today on his birthday. We're hearing
that would be a huge story.
Yeah, captain, he may get the C on his chest. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yep. We're looking forward to the hockey season. NFL started, CFL started, and we have beautiful weather, and the Richmond Fair starts tonight.
There you go. We buried our lead. The Richmond Fair starts tonight. Thank you, Croupy.
76 years old, Leslie.
Wow. Wow. Doesn't look a day over 150.
Go get him.
Thanks, Croupy. Appreciate it. It's 9:30. Of course, Chris is in the newsroom going back in now. News Talk 580 CFRA.